Coach Sess, Ace Hill.
How's it going?
We're going to give you guys 10 minutes, and we're just talking MMA.
That's all we can do.
So, what's on your mind?
So, this has been actually an amazing...
First of all, you're just coming off a fight.
Yep.
Tell us about that.
Oh, my God. So, went into hostile territory a little bit. You guys were able to see the video. We were able to kind of... We flew out to Oklahoma, and the opponent was Native American, and the village chief was there, and there were other people there, and when I said this guy sold tickets, he had a whole entire section, probably twice as big as his room, that was cheering for him. Luckily, having the nice personality that I had, I was able to sell a couple tickets and make some friends in the audience, things like that. So I had about 20 people on my side, but he probably had about 100 people that was on his side. So it was a bit of a short notice fight. We got offered to us. We looked at the film and everything. We saw how his skill set lined up against mine. I thought it was actually a pretty decent matchup. So he was a 7-4 as an amateur, really good striker, came out of Muay Thai gym. Actually, was out of Foraza Muay Thai, has guys like Jimmy Flick and a few other like UFC caliber opponents. So it was like it's a good stylistic matchup, good gym, good promotion. So we went out there and kind of just isolated. What we saw, we thought were the weaknesses in his game plan and kind of use that to our advantage. So he's a strict Muay Thai guy. He likes to kind of have his hands out here. He'll bring it back to his hand face a few times. But we saw that the overhand right was there. You guys actually helped me work a lot of the clinch stuff as well. So I actually got into the clinch a little bit. Kind of got to break it out. Shot my first pure takedown in the fight.
Yeah,
that is my happiest moment of the whole entire fight. I can care less for the knockout. I was like, I got two takedowns.
Yeah.
And that was something that in 8 years, I can never say that I'm actually able to finally well round the game. But we saw that he's going to look to strike. So I was like, what do I hate when I'm striking somebody? I hate the threat of the takedown. So I was like, that's the first thing we're going to go for. So we touch gloves. Same thing, a thing I learned from you guys. Touch gloves so they can't rush into you. Switch spots with them, put their back towards the judges so the judges are looking at you, strike towards him. Then I kind of felt the feel for it. He went for like a hook, boom, shot in there, worked back up. He went for the guillotine, something I worked with Damon in the dressing room. He's like, okay, the way you're shooting, there's a chance he might go for the guillotine. He's like, make sure you have your head up high, go around their back, and then take the reshot again.
So Damon was at the show?
Yeah, Damon was in my corner.
Damon, back here.
It all comes full circle.
That's right.
It all comes full circle. Always. So that's literally something that we were working in the back locker room. He's like, okay, hey, your penetration shot's good. He's like, but you're still kind of having your head out there a little bit, so make sure you keep your head up high. What do you call that? Head pummel out, take for the back, then reshoot again. Boom, got that. Kind of worked up a little bit more. It's way on his arms because he's a striker. So once I didn't want the full takedown. I just wanted to put that third in there. So we kind of let him work back up. Strike, strike, strike. Weighing on the arms, building up that lactic acid, making him tired. We kind of got for the break. And then boom, boom. Kept looking for the overhand right because his hands were low. Boom, tagged him up a little bit. And then kind of went flush. Celebrated a little bit early. Kind of thought I had it.
Yeah. I was like, come on, Ace. Don't walk away. Finish. And then you did the right thing when you went back.
And then Damon and then my manager and the other coach was like, he's not out. So I was like, oh. And I was like, luckily, I was like, I'm just working, listening to the gym, you know, having so many good coaches in an environment where you can always kind of just paying attention, not kind of getting tunnel vision. My ears have gotten good over there. So like, he's not out. I was like, okay. I got him back. Boom, 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 boom. Same thing again. The overhand right and the right hook. So we just saw that his hand was always low on that right side. So kind of just was looking to set up shots on that side from uppercuts, overhands, and then hooks. And then the final one kind of just put him out. The crowd hated me.
Yeah.
After the fight, the security was like, hey, we need you guys to stay over here for a little bit.
Find me on Facebook and I'll put the link. I'll show you where to get the video. If I don't have it up, then tag me and say, hey, where's that video for Ace?
Oh my gosh.
And the girl calls Ace out at the end. Yeah. On everything Hill!
Oh my God. I was like, oh boy. And I'm new in House of Territory. And the guy was, a super nice guy and everything like that. We spoke a little bit after. We hang out at the after party spot. I got to meet the village chief elder and some of the other staff in the section. I was like, it was just honestly a really amazing event. The after everything was nice and settled. And so when you have a situation like that where the crowd kind of gets a little bit of animosity, when they see that both athletes or competitors are like just, he's kind of like a guy like me, a mellow tone kind of chill guy. Like,
you're not a chill guy though.
Well, I'm kind of.
You're super hype all
yeah,
over.
Yeah, I'm hype, but it's not
super spazzy.
There's no animosity. He's kind of like laid back. I'll say like nonchalant. I'm energetic, but kind of like nonchalant. You know, that's kind of like the guy. Well, he was a mellow.
But, he's a nice enough guy.
and the opponent and Samson was a super nice guy as well. So they're like, all right. So we spoke with his fans and everything like that. And it was all love. You know, just two guys. I was out there chasing their dreams, and I got the better that day. But as I spoke to him, I was like, hey, I'll send you everything that we saw in the film. I'd like you guys to do the same thing, vice versa, because that's how we both grow. We're out here chasing dreams.
Exactly. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Let me change that camera. That wasn't 10 minutes, but... Tell me... Please tell me you didn't not report it. It died on me. I have no idea how much I got. Turn this way to talk. All right, so it's Matt Coach and Ace Hill.
How's it going?
And we're talking MMA, so we're going to talk all things MMA. Only thing on my mind is Fight For It, number 13, coming up this weekend, talking about the local scene, but we want to talk about anything and all things MMA, so whether it be regional, local, or the national level. Did you get to see DJ in that that 1X fight?
Oh, yeah, of course. I had to watch that one. So I was actually, when I was getting ready for my fight, his already had it. So I was sitting there in the room watching on YouTube, and I was just like, okay, one, this dude's 24 with 390-some-odd fights. And I was like, that the activity of that schedule, I was like, oh, my. Even if they, I know they start pretty young over in Thailand, but I was like, man, I was like, I stepped my game up a little bit.
You got two fights in a year and a half.
Yeah, I was like, golly, this dude said 300, over 300.
So, shout out to our boy, speaking of DJs, shout out to our boy Marcus Daniels.
Our very own Mighty Mouse.
Who's looking like DJ these days with his shaving apparatus. But what did you think about that fight in terms of how unique the skill sets were from going from Muay Thai and then going to MMA?
So the first thing that I thought was the most interesting was how DJ did his clinch entries. So he did it, he didn't change much. He used the same as he would do for his shot entries, but just kind of walked up. Something that we actually kind of worked today, yep. No shameless plug, but kind of just used that to close the distance and work your way up to an actual clinch. And then what surprised me is that the ref kind of let it go. I was like, and this is what makes me happy when you have an educated staff, educated audience, and then the way that the Asian audience appreciates MMA is just, I love it. Because sometimes you see, like, on our side, they kind of complain and they boo it, things like that. But they know this is part of the game. So he would use the shot entries to kind of close that distance, work his way back up, stay safe, buy out the clock. And then the way he would explode in, it was very defensively sound. That was something that we don't see him do quite as much with MMA because I'm not normally fighting a super dangerous crowd, a super dangerous opponent. But he was very, very crisp and technical with his decisions. And I thought it was a really excellent game plan. Kind of wrote it out a little bit. And when it came time for him to execute his game plan, he did so.
Exactly. I thought me and Denver Lopez, we talked about this, that it was so unique to see how he had adapted to the Muay Thai style and then how the mixed martial art part, when they went to that round, how it was like a totally different world and how your energy systems work. For in the beginning, the Thai fighter was moving forward, and then when it turned to MMA, then he was on his back foot, backing up. And it's very similar to a lot of the drills we use here in the gym, where you're getting guys out of their comfort zone. Don't allow a guy to just do straight Muay Thai all the time, or straight wrestling, or straight boxing, whatever it is that he's good at. And you create these different scenarios. So we saw that fight, and we saw, in our opinion, we saw a disruption that's coming, that you're probably gonna see more gyms training this type of format, where they're training different energy systems and they're training different skill sets as well.
So another, so everybody knows that the Volkanovski Korean Zombie fight's coming up. Have you seen their the UFC countdown? So something that I thought was unique that they're doing, they're working those mixed energy systems. He's going from strike, and that's something that we do here as well. So it makes me happy when I see things that you know we're doing in Fayetteville, North Carolina, at Team Rock. You see it at a major champion do it. So they're working, boom, 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 he's hitting mitts. And then someone jumps on him for a takedown, he's defending the takedown, he has to defend that, and he's back to sparring, and he's back to hitting. I was like, I did this for my fight. Yeah. Like, this is something that we do, so it's proven.
We have a drill called 45 King.
Yes.
That we started several years ago, I'm going to say back in 2017, for Isaiah Monroe, the featherweight king.
45 king.
He's the 45 king anyway, so we named the drill after him because we named the drill for him to improve his awareness, his timing, and his speed overall. What's going on with the Fighter Writer podcast?
Sad to say, we had to take a little bit of a hiatus. Gen C got a mouth surgery, uh-huh. And then I had my fight coming up, and then a little bit things going on with school-wise. So we actually finally got our LLC, so we're official now. We're officially, and we branched out, so now we're FW Up Nation, which is going to still encompass Fighter Writer and the fans. So I'm still doing that podcast and motivational podcast as well. We're going to branch out and do a little bit more. We're going to sell shirts and things like that and the like, and look to kind of expand the brand a little bit. So we're taking the time, since we can't push out as much new content. We're going to rebrand some of the ones that we already had, edit out some fun parts, push out more clips, kind of just chop it out and push out a little bit more media overall.
Good, good. I know you're going to be leaving this area soon. Where are you going to be training and who are you going to be training with if you can continue training?
Oh, yeah. So luckily enough, I looked at the schedule. So, you know, I'm a very proactive person. So a little, the beauty of YouTube, since we're in 2022, I was like, God damn, 2022. So I looked up on YouTube. They actually had a whole entire video that had the course breakdown. So I'll be going to infantry basic officer course. So it's about 4 months. And from what it seemed, from what sounded like online, the first 2 months I actually will have a little bit more time to live. You know, it's some field time and things like that, but I'll be at Fort Benning, Georgia, which is the home of combatives, All Army Combatives Champion. Actually, the tournament for 2022 is starting today. So, whoop. But I'll train at Bad Apple MMA. We got Joseph Creer down there. He's a Bellator fighter, and they have some really, really good guys out there. Brandon Sales is still out there. He fought for PFL.
I'm not 100% sure. I have to go back and look at the list for the Fight For It. Number 13 coming up this weekend, but I think they have a person from Bad Apple fighting on the card. I can't remember who that person was, but I do remember seeing the gym name that's on the card. And we've got everybody, the usual suspects have shown up. It's Jimmo,
Team Rock,
Team Elevate. So you remember my boy Todd Monroe?
Yeah, Matrix MMA.
Matrix MMA have 5 fighters on this card.
Oh, man, they got a stacked roster up now.
But it's kind of jacked up because I'm looking at... So I write, if you didn't know, I write for Fight For It, and I do commentary for them. And it's kind of jacked up because they've got 2 or 3 fighters in one corner and then the other fighters in another corner. So
that's a split.
I don't know how that's going to work out because this is a new venue and I haven't been to it yet. So I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know if it's going to be spacious. We've been to places where the venues are huge and it doesn't matter. Then we've been to some where
curtains.
Hey, one fight that I was in my early day of fighting, me and my opponent warmed up together. So crowded. They threw everybody in one room and me and my opponent warmed up together because nobody knew who we were. We were out-of-towners. So we said, hey, man, you want to warm up? He said, yeah.
We pummeled
like for 30 minutes. It's because it was so tight. You couldn't get on the ground. You couldn't strike. Couldn't do anything. So hopefully this is going to be a nice venue. And we'll be able to, you know, guys will be able to have their own space. I want to get out and because I'm not doing the kickboxing this time. I'm only commentating the MMA. So doing the kickboxing, I'm going to try to make my way around to do some backstage interviews and hopefully get those online either before the night or during the fight itself. But Team Highest Stand. So
Atlantic MMA.
MMA, exactly.
I love that Fight For It's been pushing out event after event. I think they've had probably the most events in the Carolinas within the recent, year and a half since they came up, honestly. I think they have the most. And that's something that's amazing for a new promotion.
It's good. Well, technically, they're not as new as you think.
Rebranded, I guess?
Rebranded. But under this brand, this is number 13. But everybody, Leslie Steiner, Jonathan Stammy, and Marcelo Rodriguez, they're all veterans in the game. Marcelo just refereed this past weekend. Leslie just fought this past weekend. They're just getting... I think Leslie and Jonathan just recently got their brown belts. So these are active participants in the game. So these are not Johnny Come Latelys. They know the fighters. They know the teams. They know the business. And ever since I've been working for them, they've treated me fairly with no surprises whatsoever. And I like the way they do things. I will say this, though. I do have one pet peeve. All right, it's not a real pet peeve, but... I'm just trying to find something that...
It just can't be all nice.
Yeah, I can't be nice. Like, the promotion's great.
But this is why I think they put out such quality fights because, one, they're involved in this area and they're bringing up this area. They're giving it a spotlight. They have a good support platform and they're building up the Carolinas. And it's just... They know what quality looks like because they train themselves. So it's kind of hard when you have... From my point of view, my opinion, we don't have a promoter or you don't have a staff for the show that doesn't know much about combat sports. They're kind of just chasing the fame, the odd, the buck. They're putting anybody on the card. That's when you see you have a 3-0 guy fighting someone that's 4-17 and things like that. That's not something that we're seeing. We're actually seeing...
No, you're seeing research. You're seeing fights that are quality fights, but you're also seeing competitive fights where either person could win the fight. It's up to that fighter. It's up to him. It's his fight to lose. So they're making matchups across the board that are equal, in my opinion. The fight that's on my mind this weekend is Kevin Peraza Blanco taking on Trevor Larkin for the 145 title.
Looking for another
fight. I got stuck there, Larkin, because I was thinking about Jeff Larkin. So
it's kind of like they had to fight for it or something. You know, I'm the way they got these matchups going. The guys, whoever wants to win, he has to fight for it.
So Larkin is 4-0, and I think he's finished every fight. He is a finisher. He's a wrecking ball. And Kevin Peraza is the king of decisions. I feel like the fight if it makes it to round three, Kevin's going to win the fight. Just because he'll be taking Larkin into that deep water. And I think Peraza is just really good. Now, my pet peeve is this. The title is vacant. Now, the previous show, Kevin fought Prince Ahmed Kamis. Why wasn't that the title fight? All right? That should have been the title fight.
It's the build-up.
All right?
The suspense.
Now, Kamis is on the card, and he's fighting Castro. I forget his name now. Man, but the guy he's fighting, Mura. Yeah, his last name is Mura. This dude's got some Aaron Castro, that's his name. This dude's got some hands. This dude's got some crazy hands. He's almost like you
Ooh.
With your boxing. In my opinion, don't take a knock, but he's probably the best boxer, pro or amateur, in MMA right now in the Carolina area. And he's got some serious hands as he's letting them go. So I think that Kamis and Aaron, their fight should be number one contender because they're both at 45. They should be number one contender. Aaron is 3-1, and Kamis is 6-6, 5-6, something like that. It's going to be a test for the new upstart, but he's coming out of Team Kickfit, working with Rodney Wallace, former UFC fighter. And Kamis has just moved to Team Gemo.
Well, round out that game a lot more as well. So it's like we said, the good matchup. So that's going to be something that's going to see, especially since they're fighting on the same card at that point. So if I was Castro, or and the same thing if I was, I don't know how to say his opponent's name, say it again.
Prince Ahmed Kamis.
So whoever takes that nod, you know who's fighting on that card out there. I'm going to take to the mic. Hey, you know, let's set it up. We're both fighting on the same night. Put on an amazing performance. Showcase your skills and market yourself for that title. Because at the end of the day, it's tickets and skills is kind of what matters the most in this game. And if he has hands better than mine, he's got the skills.
This guy's got some hands. He can stave off any type of takedown. And Kamis doesn't go for a lot of takedowns. So he's going to have to fight this kid.
But being at Jimmo, I know that they have a lot of high-level wrestlers. They're going to kind of round out his game a little bit. And if they're doing their homework, which I know that they're going to do their homework, they're going to try and build a game plan that's going to try and shut down his Castro striking.
It's going to be some incredible fights because the last fight for it, maybe two shows ago, there was Sang Jiang Do, like a traditional... martial arts school, they came in kicking ass.
I love when you see the traditional schools come back and kind of, you know, take the methodologies of the traditional martial arts and kind of round it back in. Everybody sees it with Lyoto Machida, with Wonder Boy, and a few other standouts, but I love just that, because that's the purest of the sport, and I think adapt it.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think they have two or three fighting on the card. We have youth MMA, where they can work the body, can't affect the head. And then the grappling stuff is pretty much just all jiu-jitsu at that point. They just had a couple fights this past weekend. I want to get more people involved in that.
Agreed.
What do you think about this combat jiu-jitsu that's starting to really pick
Carolina?
Up?
I'm trying to get on one of those. I think especially, so if you have high-level jiu-jitsu people that are trying to transition over to MMA eventually, even if they want to teach self-defense a lot more, I think it's a very good experience for you as a professor, as a coach, and also it's to well-round that skill set. You know, you kind of get your feet wet. You get used to taking the strikes, used to working your game underneath pressure. It's honestly only going to make you better, and it's fun. Like, you get jiu-jitsu, you get some strikes, you get some action. I mean, we had a combatives tournament where we do pancration. We had one person that broke somebody's orbital with just smacks. But you see...
Is that with the Army program?
Yeah, that was the Army. Wow. Yeah, speaking of battles, you know. But, you know, just from pancration only. But I've been doing pancration with the Army since, what, 2011? So that's kind of, well, I love combat jiu-jitsu because combat is what kind of got me into this in the first place. So just looking at the reality of combat, bring it on full circle. So I think it well-rounds your game, and it kind of gives people a different outlook on it. Because I know not everybody likes the chess game that is jiu-jitsu. They do want to see things be a little bit more lively and see more action. If you're looking for that, you can't kind of just stall out and hang out when someone's raining down smacks in your face. So it kind of pushes the action a lot more. So I'm all for it.
Exactly. How's family, by the way?
Oh, Maya's doing well.
Maya's doing good. Yeah. Good, good, good. So anybody you working with, training, bringing up along, or you, right now you just focusing on you?
So I actually, I'm coaching. I'm coaching youth. You know, I have one of English words. So we actually met when I was going through my divorce. He's a former sergeant major of one of the special operations units. So his son is looking to work on some boxing and some jiu-jitsu. I'm actually gonna try and bring him over this way once I take that step out. But I'll be working just basic boxing and things like that with him. He's already kind of done some nagas and things like that, already had a wrestling background, and he's turning 12 now, so kind of just be able to help roll around that game. And that's something that I think we see a lot more now. You have people starting way younger than what I started at, right. or even you know, in the past, because it's popular now. You see it's out there, and there's ways to do it safely, and a lot of people see the self-defense aspect of it, the confidence of it, cause that's kind of why his dad wanted him to get into it, kind of just to build some self-esteem, build some confidence, and just learn a fun skill set.
Exactly. So before we get out of here, we got to talk about it. That national scene, the world scene, the UFC, who do you like? What shows you like coming up? Somebody posted the other day that what card was that? The Volkanovski card, mm-hmm. and they wrote the word legendary. I looked at the card. I'm like, I see three or four that I like. I don't know if that whole card's legendary though. But it's a good card still.
Yeah, you know, it's an amazing card. I wouldn't put it at legendary either. I mean, we do have legends. I do think Korean Zombie's a legend. I definitely think that Volkanovski's on his way to be a legend. I mean, he's beaten some of the best. Even though I'm a Max Holloway fan and a Jose Aldo fan through and through, so he kind of made me upset a few times. But you know, it is. I think it's more top heavy than anything else, yeah. And it does have some quality fights for growth. And there's some guys that they're putting on there that's going to help rise their stars. But I wouldn't quite put it at legendary. I would probably put the only one I would probably put as maybe legendary might have been that Kamaru Usman, Jorge Masvidal. That was a really amazing one. Any Conor McGregor fight's an amazing one. And Israel Adesanya is just honestly raising stock every single time. But I think we're still pretty early into 2022. My favorite fight so far, though, is definitely Corey Sandhagen versus Jan. I've been watching that fight and stealing as much as I can. I mean, opponents, I don't care whatever you found out. But that was an amazing fight.
I think that
might have been probably one of the more on the cusp of legendary, just because it was that fight.
So is that who you like right now is Petey Jan and...
Reluctantly, I like them.
who do you think, Sterling... Or Jan,
I'm a New Yorker, and they've actually invited me out there a few times. So I love Sterling. I love that whole entire team. I'm a New Yorker through and through. You know, that's where I came up at. But I think that Jan is just so well rounded.
Petey Jan's here.
I think Jan's just so well rounded. Honestly, I think that he's probably and I'm a huge Dominic Cruz fan. Everybody knows that.
You hear that, but, Isaiah Monroe? I don't care about your little homeboy. You know, I'm calling it.
I think Jan is a future bantamweight great. I think he beats Sterling. I want to see the advancement. Sterling looks jacked, by the way. Like, I saw his social media and everything like that. I don't know how he's going to make 35. Oh, my God. He put on some muscle.
When he came through here for about a week, he looked big.
Then. Yeah. When I met him, I think he said that he comes down from, like, what 170 or something like that. That was when, and plus, with the push from you guys, I was like, there's no way I'm ever fighting at 35 again. I was like, I'm going to be a flyweight. But I was like, because I can't even get up that big. But no, he's looking very defined or anything like that. But I was like, but I don't think that was the strength issue or the explosive issue was the shortcomings I saw in that first matchup. I think output management and cardio-wise and just shot selection per se.
You fought 45?
Yeah, 40. I fought 55 too. 55.
How much difference, how hard is it between those weight classes, like to stay focused and dedicated? Like, let's go with 45 to 35. How hard is it? Is it that much difference in the way you train to get there?
So when I fought at 45, the one time was because I took a super short notice fight. So I fought the week before at 35, and I was like, okay, we're just going to kind of just stay lean and kind of bulk up a little bit. And
so it's easier to do the 45.
Yeah, it was way easier to do the 45.
And what about the 35 and 25?
So 25, I like 25 because it makes me disciplined, honestly. At 35, I feel like I can kind of stand back a little bit because I'm not super big. I probably walk around, like, nowadays, probably like 150, 55 if I'm being fat. But when I get to 25, I have to be on point with cardio. I have to be on point with my training. I cannot slack off. So I prefer that because it makes me hyper-focused.
Now, that's a good observation, because are we talking about scheduling, or are we talking about a difference in the workout itself?
The difference in the workout itself. They have to be more... We have so much data and science out now, but I have to dial things in more, focus things more, make sure that I'm actually paying more attention to, you know, I know what helps me burn calories. I'm not going to tell the world, but I know that there's certain workouts that I need to do that makes me better skill set wise, burn calorie wise. Like, I run track. So running, I don't burn anything. That's not something that's going to help me lose. It does help my gas tank a little bit, but I've been running since high school 14 years ago. So running's not going to get it for me, but there's other things that if I focus on that, it burns the calories, it gets my gas tank up, it gets my VO2 max up, it gets my lactic threshold where I need it to be. So it's kind of like working more on the cerebral side and kind of just holding in things that I need to actually be like a professional athlete, to be honest. So when I fight at 25, I feel like I have to be a professional athlete. There's no cutting corners, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. I have to do it the right way. When I fight at 35, I feel like I'm kind of able to... kind of just athlete it, you know, like
just
athlete it out. Like, okay, you know, I'm gonna work my skill stuff. I'm gonna do my workouts and things like that. But it's not, we're not fine tuning it. We're not, because when I'm in 25, I am in fight mode. Like, there is no stepping out of that. Like, I'm laser focused. I'm like, okay, we got this goal out there. And it just, I think it makes me more aggressive. I think I have more finishes. You know, the last two fights, three fights at 25 were all knockouts, actually, now that I think about it. And before, I don't have any knockouts at 35 to be a striker.
So you're taking your power when you go down. That's good.
Yeah.
That's
good. It makes me meaner because I know, like, I'm a very nice guy, but when I'm cutting so much, I'm like, this is your fault. I can't have steak and potatoes or ramen because of you. So I kind of have to, it brings more of an animal out of me because it kind of just puts me in a different place mentally.
You're
and
right.
That's something I think I've worked a lot more lately, is a lot of mental stuff. Is it, if you follow me, you know, I had a lot of things going on, custody-wise and life-wise. So there was times where I was just distraught, honestly. So now when I'm kind of focusing on the fighting, like when I'm cutting to 25, I have no choice but to be laser focused, and it kind of helps me take my mind off all the nonsense that's going on and just focus on what I'm here for. And honestly, I'm using the money from this fight to go see my daughter, honestly. So it kind of just helps to back it up on top of that.
So how do you find you on social media?
Oh, Tyrell Ace Hill _MMA for Instagram, Tyrell Ace Hill for my Facebook page, Ace Hill. I can get a couple more friends. I'm almost getting near that limit. And then Twitter, I want to say, is Ace the Assassin.
And I am Seth Stevenson, all things Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and TikTok. Have been doing a lot of the TikTok as of late, but I'm getting back to it. But, you know, that's good for right now. My man Ace, I am Coach Seth. And you've had words with a mad coach.
Boom.
Next time we do this over dinner.
Okay. But there, since we're still rolling a little bit, XMMA, that is one thing I did want to touch on.
Yeah.
That they put on an awesome card. Like, from what I've seen, the graphics that they had over the winter, Adley's amazing performance, beating a dude that missed weight by 10 pounds.
That's right. Adley Edwards did a great job in securing the first round submission victory.
Got the head and arm choke, but exactly. Just the promotion quality that I've seen from that, I think they're gonna be like kind of like how XFC. Well, yeah, they're gonna be like how, and they're not even on Fight Pass. They're kind of just doing their own thing. But I think they're gonna be like another one of those kind of like, I'm not gonna say quite PFL level. We'll see what their growth is gonna look like. But I think they've had probably more UFC vets than a lot of the other shows so far.
Hey, you
so,
know what my opinion is, because we've seen so many, like Marcus Davis is gonna be at the show cornering somebody this way. I think he's cornering Sasha Rockwood, I think his last name is Rockwood. So what we're seeing is the growth of the sport, the industry itself, because yes. A lot of these guys who are not fighting anymore are turning to coaches, opening up gyms. So the level's huge.
This is the time to be to
and
be
if
in
you
the sport.
Paid attention, you notice that the output of the fighters in the last 3 or 4 years is a lot better. You also notice on more cards, go back to 2015 and go before, and you hardly ever saw split decisions. and you hardly ever saw majority decisions. Now you're seeing...
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot more majority decisions. Yes. That's the thing I noticed the most, especially.
But I think it was 2 or 3 UFCs ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. Look at those cards. There was like 2 or 3 split decisions on the same card.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You're seeing it more because now...
It's that fine-tooth combing. It's the... Like I said, the science behind it, the focus, you really have to fight for it. Like, it's getting, you know, you're seeing people mix it up so much more. Everybody's well-rounded now. You don't have it. I see, before you hear, this one's a wrestler, there is a boxer. Or now you see freestyle fighter, mixed martial artist. I call myself an assassin.
As a matter of fact, it's more of a novelty now to identify the striker versus grappler.
Very true.
On a card now. It's like, whereas before, it kind of was that, the whole card.
It was archetype. Yeah, that was the...
Now it kind of stands out when you have that as an element in the fight. It's, oh, this is my striker versus grappler of the night.
It brings that nostalgia almost because it kind of brings it back to like the old days.
I think everybody's going to keep one of those. I think there's every promotion has a matchmaker who's out there going, who can I match up, striker versus grappler, you know, without somebody getting murdered. You know?
Yeah, yeah. but I still love those. But just seeing the overall growth of the sport, like, so many promotions are just evolving, advancing, and I'm loving it. This is the best time to be an MMA fan, honestly. This is the best time for the sport. Even combat sports overall. We have The Zone, you got Fight TV, you have Bellator. I think they have their own little thing they're going. I think they even have their own little app coming up. You know, ONE FC has their own app, which I think is the best app in MMA. I'm not even gonna lie. Everybody else, step your game up. They have the best one. You know, of course, Fight Pass. I know XFC has their own app. Like, everybody's just making the most of this technology age and the advertising, the marketing, and then just the quality of performance of the athletes that we have is the best time to be an MMA fan.
That's right. So once again, hit us up on social media. I will put links in the descriptions in all of these. Ace Hill, Coach Sess, now you've had words with the Mad Coach.
We couldn't let that awesome part out.